蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
使徒保罗在给哥林多教会的信上这样写道：若基督没有复活，我们所传的就是枉然，你们所信的也是枉然。从许多方面来看，一位没有从死里复活的耶稣可能更容易被人接受，因为他复活了，我就不能够随便挑选一些我喜欢的教训来遵守。更进一步来说，复活就表示着耶稣现在还存在于某一个地方，表示着我们永远无法将它定住，就算我们用真的钉子将它钉在十字架上，也是徒劳无益的。你现在收听到的是良友电台的中英双语节目《蓝天绿洲》Haven Today， 我是乐欣。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. And this series is going to come to an end, called the John Challenge.In these next few minutes, we find ourselves in John 20, looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a moment. We looked at the very real death of our Lord on the cross. He really did die. And today we come to the moment he himself had predicted, his rising from the dead on the third day. Sometimes I'm afraid we've become a little too familiar with the story and the words,that when we read them, they just don't sink in as they should. Jesus died, but then he was alive. Now let's listen in to the moment that Jesus first appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, as it's portrayed word for word from John 20 in the Gospel of John feature film.
It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came.Stood among them.
Peace be with you.
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you.
Did you hear the words? The disciples filled with joy? That's what happens when you meet the resurrected Savior.In just a moment, we're going to look more at John 20, and we'll hear the testimony of a good friend of mine talking about how this chapter changed his life.
Christians around me claimed that indeed he was and is alive in resurrection glory even now. I had to find out if that was true.
That's a pastor and a missions scholar, Dr. Mateen Alas. He'll be with us more in a moment to share how the resurrection of Jesus turned him from a skeptic to a believer in Jesus.Born again.
我们可以想象一下，如果耶稣没有复活的话，这个世界将会是怎样的不同呢？首先，门徒们不会冒着生命的危险在耶路撒冷的街道上去讲述一个新的信仰，虽然他们也不会忘记耶稣，毕竟那三年相处的时间里，耶稣以一个没有智慧、没有能力的身份给他们留下了深刻的印象。等过了一段时间之后呢，悲痛的心情慢慢恢复过来了，门徒们可能还是会想出一些纪念耶稣他们夫子的方法，比如门徒会把耶稣所说的一些事情收集起来，写成一本和我们现在福音书差不多的作品，有可能呢里面会加一些感人肺腑的或是煽情的言辞，又或者门徒就会像当时犹太人为了尊重殉道的先知那样，他们也为耶稣建一个纪念碑或者耶稣纪念馆什么的。如果是这样的话呀，那么我们现在这批的现代人呢，还可以去游览一下这些名胜古迹，像一个拿撒勒人的木匠哲学家学习学习，讨教讨教，从他的教训和他的教导当中挑选一些我们所欣赏的作为个人的信念。可以想象得到， 在全世界，耶稣很可能会像孔子或是苏格拉底一样得到许多的尊敬。是复活把耶稣的生命摆在了一个全新的视角下。蓝天绿洲约翰福音系列今天就来到了20章。一首诗歌之后呢，我们来听听 Charles 的分享以及他好朋友的信主见证。
Hymns for the Christian Church. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Gettys. You don't have to just wait until Easter to sing that. I'm Charles Morris. In God's kingdom, death leads to life. We've heard about the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus and John. And now we're looking at the 3 days later, the resurrection. We're nearing the end of our journey through John. I want you to hear from a good friend of mine, Dr. Mateen Alas. John chapter 20, and the claims in the Bible about the resurrection were crucial for my friend in leading him to be born again and become a Christian. Here's a little of his story.
When I read the Gospels for the first time in September 1975, it became apparent to me immediately that the Jesus pictured there towered over all other religious or philosophical luminaries I had ever studied or followed. This was a major claim for me. By the age of 20, I had read major elements of Hindu and Buddhist texts, as well as the works of Lao Tzu, Confucius, and Mencius. I had learned the major tenets of Jainism, and of course was familiar with the teachings of Islam. At Stanford University, I was majoring in philosophy, and so had read representative texts of the formative thinkers of the West, from the pre-Socratics up through the time of the Enlightenment period. Of course, I was no expert, but I was widely exposed to the leading philosophical thinkers and religious movements, both East and West, and no one compared favorably with the Jesus that I encountered in the Gospels. If he had been standing there in front of me at the time, I would have pleaded with him to let me be one of his students. Christians around me claimed that indeed he was and is alive in resurrection glory even now, and that I could know him. I had to find out if that was true.
He had to find out if the resurrection was true. But nonetheless, he was a student at Stanford, a good student, sharing with us about his background and his coming to faith. Wow, did he dabble in everything spiritual? We laugh about it when we're together today, but somehow Jesus stood out from the crowd of other religions, other beliefs. We'll hear from Mateen again, but let's remind ourselves of the context of John 20. Jesus had died on the cross, wrongly arrested, interrogated, eventually crucified in chapters 18 and 19, punished for crimes he didn't commit. Barabbas, that insurrectionist, walked scot-free. You and me, you may have never thought of this, are just like Barabbas. We will walk free, though we are guilty, and Jesus is punished in our place. That's the gospel. As chapter 20 starts, we've moved forward a couple of days. Jesus laying in the tomb, dead for 3 days, and Mary Magdalene shows up again. She visits the tomb early on the first Easter Sunday to grieve. Let's hear the first few verses in John 20 as the Gospel of John DVD brilliantly portrays it.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.
Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home.
Verses 1 through 10 from John 20. Maybe you thought the same thing I did when I first read this. How anticlimactic. Mary comes to the disciples with this news. The body isn't there. Now, if you remember, Jesus had predicted his death and resurrection several times to his disciples. So even though Mary says they've taken the body, they should interpret this situation to mean Christ has risen from the dead. But when others got to the tomb, John tells us they turned around and went home. Now, that is anticlimactic. It's more perplexing when we read verse 8 again, which tells us that after John saw the empty tomb, he saw and he believed. Well, why did they go home if they believed? John isn't telling us that he believed the resurrection here. He's telling us that he and the other disciples believed Mary. When they saw the empty tomb, they simply concluded that someone had taken the body of Christ. So they went home, defeated. Not only did Jesus die, and they thought he was the Messiah. But they couldn't even grieve at his tomb anymore because the body wasn't there. But there's a ray of hope in this first scene, and it comes in verse 9. John assuring us that they only believed this because they did not yet understand the scriptures. And I wonder, how often do we interpret our own circumstances based on what makes the most sense to us, rather than what God says is true? Especially in grief, it's difficult to trust the Lord. Things are falling apart around you, maybe, but in those moments, Jesus Christ says, "No one can snatch my sheep out of my hand." If we're his sheep, we're safe, even when it seems otherwise. Jesus didn't let a sheep go on thinking he was still dead. First, he appeared to Mary. And then when we remember that this culture was not very kind to women, they weren't even considered trustworthy witnesses in court. So it is significant that Jesus appears to women first. It confirms their dignity, I might want to say, his love for them, his desire to use women to further his kingdom. Guys, did you hear me? Mary becomes the first evangelist, in a sense. She's commissioned by the risen Christ to announce the resurrection to the unbelieving disciples, most of them eventually seeing Christ and believing, but Thomas, not so sure. And when they told him the great news, yes, he still had his doubts. In fact, this is where he gets the nickname Doubting Thomas. I find it interesting how God used the story of Thomas in a special way in the life of my friend Mateen.
The story of Thomas in John 20 was particularly compelling to me. He had not been present with the other disciples when the resurrected Jesus appeared to them that first Easter evening. When he shows up later and the excited disciples try to convince him that Jesus had indeed risen from the grave, he refuses to believe their testimony. His hopes had already been crushed once. It would not happen a second time. Only if he could personally examine the crucifixion wounds on the body of a resurrected Jesus standing there before him, would he believe? Well, a week later, Jesus reappears before the gathered disciples, including Thomas. After greeting them with peace, Jesus turns immediately to Thomas and says, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it here in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas is overwhelmed and confesses before Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus responds to his awestruck follower with a promise that would become precious to me. "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." So for me, the big question I needed to answer satisfactorily was whether it was reasonable to conclude the bodily resurrection of Jesus truly happened. What led the disciples to broadcast this stupendous claim unless they were personally convinced by real-life experiences?
Mateen Alas, a New Testament scholar, sharing how John 20 was used in a mighty way in his life. Thomas thought seeing was believing, but Jesus seems to believe that the announcement of this historical event is just as good, perhaps even better. What we see in John 20, especially in the story of Thomas, is that Jesus' resurrection is a historical event. It's not just something that is nice to think about or learn about. It really happened. And because it did, there is hope that we too can overcome death. Do you believe that with me? It's here in John 20 that he tells us the reason he wrote his gospel, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And that's exactly what happened to my friend Mateen.
So on September 15th, 1975, believing that the resurrection of Jesus was likely an historical event and that he was most probably alive and might listen to my request, and aware of the fact that this might be the most momentous decision of my life if Jesus should choose to respond to my plea, I bowed my head and asked that if he indeed were who the Gospels said he was, that he would show himself to me and accept me as a disciple. He did. That was over 40 years ago. and he has never given me any reason to doubt his claims or his love. No other person, no other way of life can hold a candle to Jesus of Nazareth, God the Son incarnate, the risen Savior and Lord of all humanity.
What a wonderful story. What a great testimony to the life-changing power of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Thank you, Mateen, for sharing with all of us.
我们这些活在复活节以后的人来读福音书的时候呢，因为复活节在我们的日历上是一个节日，我们就会常常的忘记，对当时的门徒来说，要相信复活会是一件多么困难的事情。空坟墓这个事实只能够证明耶稣不在那里，它不能代表说耶稣已经复活了。可是接下来的六个星期，耶稣一次又一次地出现在他们当中。相比较耶稣的诞生，耶稣的复活既没有天使在天上唱诗歌，也没有来自远方的博士送的礼物。不知道你有没有留意到，耶稣复活后所出现的场合都是极为平凡、不被人重视的地方。耶稣出现在那个门被反锁的小屋子里，对一群被吓坏了的门徒说：“愿你们平安。”耶稣出现在以马忤寺的路上，向两个搞不清楚状况的门徒解释了从摩西到先知起所有关于自己的经文。耶稣出现在墓园里，让哭泣的妇人玛利亚见证了他的复活。还有，耶稣出现在海边，为七个打鱼的门徒预备早餐。对着多疑的多马，耶稣允许他摸摸自己的伤痕。对着丢脸羞愧的彼得，耶稣呢，则给他进行了一次酸甜交织的复健疗程。在这十几次的显现当中，有一个很清楚的模式，就是耶稣去拜访的少数人总是在偏远的地方或者在室内。我们忍不住就会感到好奇了，为什么耶稣单单的向他的朋友显现，却不像比拉多显现，不像犹太公会显现呢？想想一下，如果耶稣向那些敌人显现的话，岂不是会大大的威风了一把吗？岂不是会向那些定他罪的人证实了他的确是神的儿子，有复活的能力吗？耶稣对多马说的：“你因看见了我才信，那没有看见就信的，有福了。”今天，我们要怀着怎样的态度来理解这句宣告呢？耶稣很成功地把一群不可靠的跟随者改变成了毫无惧怕的传福音的布道家。这十一位在耶稣死的时候都离弃了他的人，却都因为公然地相信死里复活的基督而走入了殉道者的行列。就是这少数的见证人，他们却有能力胜过耶路撒冷暴力的逼迫以及后来罗马的迫害。这种难以想象的改变，就是令人信服复活最有能力的证据。还有什么能够解释清楚这一伙胆小又多变的人他们身上所发生的改变呢？在复活节的细节当中，有一件事你有没有想过呢？为什么耶稣复活之后还留着他钉十字架的伤痕？照理来说，他复活的身体是可以随着他任何一个想要的样子呈现出来的。然而，他却选择了一个可以看得见、摸得着的伤痕为他主要的记号。这是为什么呢？我们人总是梦想着要有一副完美整齐的牙齿，没有皱纹、没有伤疤的皮肤，还有性感的身材。我们梦想着拥有着一个不自然的状态，就是一个完美无瑕的身体。但是对耶稣而言，他却选择受限于人类的皮肉之中。这些伤痕成为了他在我们这个地球上的标记，也成为了那一段受限制的日子和苦难的日子的永远记号。耶稣的伤痕令我们充满了希望， 从天国的角度来看，它们代表着全宇宙中最可怕的历史事件。然而，就是钉十字架这样的事件，复活节也把它变成了一种回忆。因着复活，我能希望一切所流的眼泪，一切的创伤，一切感情中的痛苦，一切失去心爱之人的悲戚，所有的这些即将成为回忆。正如耶稣的伤痕一样，伤痕永远不会完全的消失，但是呢，却不会再令我们伤痛。我们将有一个新造的身体，将有一个新天新地，一个新的开始，一个复活节的开始。那首诗歌是怎么唱来着？因他活着，我能面对明天；因他活着，不再惧怕。我深知道他掌管明天，生命充满了希望，只因他活着。
God sent his son, they called him Jesus.
He came to love, heal and forgive.
He lived and died to buy my pardon.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Because I know
这就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部内容了。约翰福音的20章，耶稣复活了。基督教如果是没有建立在耶稣基督复活的事实上，这个信仰就根本不存在，我们信他也纯粹是枉然。听完今天节目之后，如果你有任何的反馈，有任何的感受，欢迎通过短信13229966122来和乐心还有 Charles 说说的。短信的开头请你加上蓝天。我们就在下期的同一时间和你在良友电台的 Heaven Today 不见不散。愿神祝福你，拜拜。
Just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
He is no longer dead.
Joy to the world, he is risen.